In the last book of Scripture, the book of the Revelation, we find that the Apostle John tells us that Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. So if we express it in another way, Christ is God's Word. And when we are hearing the Word, then we are really hearing the heart of God Himself speaking to us. We find also in that same book, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, that the Lord Jesus Christ is described and spoken of as the one who is faithful and true. And He is indeed true because He is truth personified, as we find in that unique claim that He makes in John chapter 14 when He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But He is also faithful. We find that the Lord Jesus is the one who is faithful to fulfill every covenant engagement made between Him and His Father. He's faithful to every promise that God has given to us in His own precious Word. And all of those exceeding great and precious promises, they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And then we could say also that He's faithful to His people, to the people of God. Sarah proved that to be true, that He was faithful to the promise that He had given. We find the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Hebrew Christians, he reminds them that He is faithful that promised. And also when he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, we have the words recorded, "He abideth," and the word "abideth" there really has the sense of remaining. So we could read it that way, "He abideth," or "He remaineth faithful." We might think also of the weeping prophet Jeremiah. And in the midst of all of his lamentations, we find it recorded that he said, "Great, great is thy faithfulness." And the word "great" there has the sense and the meaning of abundance. Abundant is thy faithfulness. We might even think of the psalmist and those words, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name," saying, "I believe it," in the outworking of the promise of the Word of God, there is so much more in it than what appears to us when we might first of all read it, when that promise is set forth in the name of the Lord Himself. And then in our scripture reading, we have been reading of God's faithful prophet Elijah. And here is Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, and he's coming to speak to King Ahab. He's coming to the throne of an earthly king. He's coming with a message. He's a message bearer. He's a message bringer. The message that he brings is one from the Lord Himself, whom Elijah so faithfully serves. And when we try in our mind's eye just to picture the scene for a moment of this man, Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, we're told in verse 1 of chapter 17, coming to speak unto Ahab. I suggest to you that tells us that this prophet Elijah was a man of tremendous courage. It was surely an holy boldness that he had here in his own heart when he undertook to go with this message from God Himself, the God of Israel, and to speak it forth to this man. Not only could I say that it shows and speaks of courage, I suggest to you that it also speaks to us of immense confidence. Immense confidence, not in Elijah himself, but immense confidence in the word that he was bringing. in the message that he had been given by the Lord, and he has absolute confidence in that word that he has come to proclaim. And then we also might think again of, just as we ponder this, that as he brings the message, he has a very deep consciousness in his own heart that he's before the Lord. Oh, he may be before an earthly monarch, but he has a greater awareness, a greater sense of awareness and consciousness that he is before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you'll notice we read there in verse 1 of chapter 17, he says unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He's so aware that he's bringing the Lord's message, and he does bring it. He's faithful. The Lord has obviously indicated to him that that's what he's to do. And so he obeys. He follows the path here of obedience. And when he has brought the message that was given by the Lord, what is he to do then? He must look to the Lord. The Lord has directed him thus far. The Lord has given him the message to proclaim. He has proclaimed that message. And what does he now do? He must again get some kind of guidance, some kind of direction. And we discover that the Lord does two things, basically, for his faithful servant. He provides guidance, and certainly Elijah needs guidance. And he also will need provision, because the Lord has brought judgment upon the land, upon the nation. And there's going to be no rain for a period of time. And that's going to have a terrible effect. And so Elijah must needs have guidance. I think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide, even unto death. And he also needs provision. And I think of Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so in giving guidance, as we are going to see in the verses that follow down here in chapter 17, and making provision for his servant, he is manifesting, he is demonstrating his great faithfulness. His great faithfulness. He's honoring his own word that he has given, and also he's manifesting and declaring his power. So we can see something of God's faithfulness here and God's power in what he does by way of guiding and providing. And so we're seeing God's faithful care and provision for his people. And that's demonstrated for us here in the record that we have of Elijah coming and delivering the message before Ahab, and then finding that the Lord hasn't forsaken him. The Lord is continuing to be with him, and the Lord is going to guide him and provide for him. So with that theme in mind, I want to draw your attention, first of all, as we think upon this theme here, just to God's unsearchable ways. God's unsearchable ways. Remember, true religion in the land at this point in time, when Elijah has come forth here to speak to Ahab, true religion was at a very low ebb. Elijah had said, there'll be no rain, there'll be no dew. And so after he brings the message, verse 2, the word of the Lord comes unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Kerith, that is before Jordan. Oh, we might think, first of all, isn't this strange, rather strange, that after Elijah has brought the message that he was to bring, the Lord tells him now to go and hide himself. Go and hide himself. Hide thyself by the brook Kerith. We might have thought that some other kind of guidance would have been given. But it's not the Lord's way here. This is the guidance that the Lord is giving to his servant. I want you to go there, and I want you to get out of sight, and I want you to keep out of sight. Might seem strange to us. Maybe it even seemed strange to Elijah. But nevertheless, we find that Elijah is willing to obey. Elijah is willing to obey what the Lord has just said and the guidance that he has given. And then, as we find the Lord speaking forth more to his servant, something perhaps even stranger in verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Well, maybe you say that's not all that strange. But then, what does the remainder of the verse say? And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I suggest to you that that does seem rather strange. It seems rather strange to us. Maybe it did so even to God's servant Elijah. That would seem perhaps a strange providence. And sometimes as we go through the Christian life, there are what we would look upon and describe as strange providences that happen. Things that occur, circumstances that develop that we really can't comprehend in our finite minds. We can't really understand and say, well, why did that take place? Why did that happen? Where did it happen? How did it happen? And we have so many questions that come flooding into our minds. And maybe there was something of that in the mind of God's servant Elijah. But nevertheless, Elijah goes in obedience. Oh, as Paul said in writing to the Christians at Rome in Romans 11:33, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Didn't the psalmist say in Psalm 77, speaking of the Lord, that his way was in the sea? And I take it in that verse that that might be a reference to the Lord's deliverance of his people from Egyptian bondage and bringing them through the Red Sea. You see, so often God's ways and God's operations are really inscrutable. They're impossible for us to place the right interpretation upon them and get the right understanding of them. But nevertheless, the God whom we serve and the God whom we know is the one who is reigning, and as he reigns, he controls. And here in this situation, God was reigning. God was reigning. God was undoubtedly and unquestionably in control. And when you think about this, this is something that should encourage our hearts. Our God is the God who reigns. He controls, and he's not bounded, he's not limited by circumstances, he's not bound or limited by creatures, not at all. Don't we find the psalmist saying, whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. As God is sovereign, his will is unfettered. Again, we can think of the words of Isaiah, where we read, I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I have purposed it. I will also do it. God is the great creator God. He is the one who has made all things, and not only is he the God who has made all things, but he is the God who is governing all things. He is the God who controls the wind. He is the God who controls the waves of the sea. He is the one who is sovereign over all. He is the one who controls the animal creation, those animals that he made. He is the God who is in control here of the very fowls of the air. Because he has said to Elijah, Elijah, go to the brook Kerith, you'll drink of the water of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So God, in doing this, he's showing his absolute sovereignty. Now, I'm sure we all know that the raven is a flesh-eating bird. The raven is the type of bird that would eat almost anything. It would certainly eat putrid flesh. That wouldn't be a difficulty, wouldn't be a problem to the raven. But Elijah is not going to feed on putrid flesh. Elijah is going to need fresh meat. We might ask, where did the ravens get it? And when they did get it, why would they not just eat it? Why would they bring it from wherever they got it to the brook? Just birds coming with the Lord's provision for his servant whom he has told to go and hide himself there and keep out of sight by the brook Cherith, and he'll be able to drink of the water of the brook. But the Lord saying, I have commanded provision for you, and here is one of my ways, Elijah, one of my unsearchable ways. I'm going to command these birds, these ravens, to bring you the bread and the flesh. And God can do that. It is no difficulty to the Lord to change the disposition that he had given to those ravens in the first place. And he obviously must have changed the disposition of these ravens here to bring the bread and the flesh, because they were going forth and they were doing what the Lord had commanded. What is God showing to Elijah? He's saying, Elijah, I'm in control. I'm in control of my creation, the very birds of the air. I'm in control, Elijah, even down to the very drops of dew on the blades of grass, because I am sovereign. I am sovereign over all, and my sovereignty extends to every part of my creation. And I cause all things to work together for good to them that love me, to those that are called according to my purpose. And so here's something of God's unsearchable ways. And in considering this unsearchable way of making provision for his servant, we're seeing God's power. It took God's supernatural power to bring these ravens and have them bring the necessary bread and flesh for his servant Elijah at the brook Cherith. That ought to encourage our hearts in these days of chaos and confusion and uncertainty. And so many feel a spirit of despondency, what's going to happen in the future. But isn't it good to know that the God, if we're saved, if we're numbered amongst the people of God, that we have a God who's sovereign over all, everything. He's in absolute control, and here's one of his unsearchable ways. But then secondly, I draw your attention to his unfolding will. His unfolding will. Because here is the Lord's servant Elijah, and he has been given guidance to turn eastward and to hide by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And so we're told in verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. He went and did just what the Lord had told him to do. He's obedient. And so he's discovering God's will. God's will is unfolding to him. God is unfolding his will to him. Now, he's not unfolding and revealing all of his will at this point in time, but he's revealing a sufficient part of it. What Elijah needs to know He has told him to go there to the brook. He'll have the water. The birds, the ravens will bring the food. And he's done that. And, well, what's he to do? Is he just to stay there? Stay there and stay there? No, he knows that he's in the will of God when he goes. And this part of God's will for him has unfolded to him. And then if you read on down the chapter, you find in verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, because I've made provision for you there. I've made provision for you there." So here is the word of the Lord coming, and the word of the Lord revealing what the will of the Lord is. You see, God is not obligated. God is not obligated to let us know anything beyond what we need for the present. Now, sometimes he may, but he's sovereign. But here, as far as Elijah is concerned, he doesn't. He's given him the message. Elijah delivers the message. Then he gives him guidance, and he shows and manifests his faithfulness and his power. He's saying to his servant, I haven't abandoned you. I haven't left you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you the guidance that you need. And he's doing that. And step by step, Elijah is finding out what the will of the Lord is for him. Elijah didn't know when going before Ahab at the very beginning that this was what he was to do after he had delivered the message, did he? No, he didn't. But when he obeyed the Lord and delivered the message God had given to him, then the Lord comes, the word of the Lord in verse 2 came unto him saying, the word of the Lord is going to reveal more of God's will to him. Not until the brook dried up did the word of the Lord come to him again. You could imagine the temptation. The Lord had told him to go and hide himself there at the brook, and as he looks and sees the brook, the level of the water's going down and down and down. Maybe it's time I lean to my own understanding and go elsewhere. But that was not so. He must wait, and he does wait on the Lord, for the Lord to reveal unto him more of his will, what he has him to do, where he would have him to go. So in a sense and in a way, we could say that Elijah is under this kind of discipline, and I mean that in a very good sense, because the Lord is just having this discipline placed upon him. Oh, we might think, well, if Elijah goes and hides himself, maybe, well, he'll appear he's afraid, it'll appear he's a coward. But no, this was the Lord's will, one of God's unsearchable ways, and Elijah's doing exactly what the will of the Lord has shown him to do, no matter how it might appear to some others. And sometimes we care more about our reputation at times, more than doing what the will of the Lord is for us. And here he is, and the Lord is teaching him many things, as he does when he unfolds his will to us, in the way, in the manner in which he unfolds his will, step by step. And Elijah's learning. Isn't that a good way to have it? The Lord teaching, and we are learning. He learned what, you might ask? He learned submission. Learned submission. He must submit, and he does, to turn eastward, get to the brook, keep out of sight, stay there by a drying brook. And sometimes in life we feel as if we're at a drying brook. You ever felt that? Maybe through some set of circumstances for you as an individual or in your family or your immediate family. Or maybe some sickness or some illness comes, serious sickness, serious illness comes, and you feel, you could describe this, sounds and feels very much like a drying brook. But Elijah here is learning to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord more and more and more. He must needs trust the Lord. Because remember, he doesn't have any other earthly confidant. It's good to have friends, isn't it? And I think we all like to have friends, and we count maybe some individuals good friends, and that's great to have them. And we sometimes might unburden our hearts to them and say, well, brother, what do you feel? I was thinking about this. What's your mind on it? There's nothing wrong in doing that. But Elijah's all alone. He doesn't have anyone else in an earthly sense. He has gone to the brook Cherith, and he's to stay there and to keep out of sight. He's all alone. So the Lord is teaching him, you must learn to trust me, Elijah, more and more and more. Just as we have those words in Proverbs, familiar words, aren't they? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. How? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So it's as if the Lord is saying, Elijah, keep trusting me. Don't be leaning to your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will guide you aright. I will direct your paths. You see, the ravens will keep on bringing you the food for as long as is necessary. Even though you have not seen them or heard of them doing such a thing before. If God had said, Elijah, you go to the brook, you'll have the water to drink, and I'll send you manna from heaven. Oh, that's fine, Lord. There's a precedent for that, isn't there? But there was no precedent for this. This unsearchable way of the ravens bringing the food to provide for Elijah. So he must needs trust the Lord. And he needs to trust the Lord and keep on trusting the Lord, because the Lord's testing his faith. He has put him in that situation. There by the brook Cherith. He has put him there. He has directed him there. He has guided him there. And he's providing for him there. And all that stood between Elijah and hunger and thirst was the promise of God. Was the promise of God. And he must needs continue to trust. Oh, I think of those words in Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Well, Elijah had certainly obeyed the voice of the Lord. But then the verse goes on, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Have you ever been there? Even as a believer in Christ, you feel, to you it appears as if it's darkness. I'm not getting any light. What am I going to do? Well, that verse goes on to say then, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And that's exactly what Elijah here was being taught. You see, he was learning under this discipline, which was good for him, as all discipline is for us as the people of God, under the Lord's discipline. He was learning to commune with God. He was learning to commune with God. Have that personal communion with God. Because even here at the brook Cherith, he's serving the Lord. He's still serving the Lord. Just as much here at the brook Cherith as he was serving the Lord when he came with the Lord's message and stood before Ahab. He's still the Lord's servant. And as the people of God, every one of us, we're all servants. We're all servants in one capacity, in one sphere or another. We're serving our master, the Lord Jesus himself. And wasn't he also being taught and learning that he must be so thankful? Because how else was he going to survive, really? When you think of the Lord's judgment having fallen upon the land, upon the nation, how is he really going to survive? He needs the Lord. He really needs the Lord. And he must needs be thankful. And I would say he was most thankful to the Lord. Most thankful to the Lord. You say, well, what was he more thankful for? Was he more thankful for the ravens? Or was he more thankful for the water in the brook? I suggest to you he was thankful for both. He was thankful for both. Because both were the Lord's provision. At this point in time, for Elijah, both are the Lord's provision. God had wrought supernaturally and commanded the ravens. Oh, but then the brook, the water is drying up. But still, up until it dries up, the Lord has provided that water at that brook. Remember, he's in control of all things. And here, step by step, there is unfolding to Elijah God's will for him. And all the while, he's being taught so much. Each step, the Lord has something else to teach him. And so it is for us as the people of God, as we follow the Lord according to his will. Each step that we take in obedience to that will, he's teaching us so much. We're learning so much. You never stop learning. You know, I suppose the schools will soon be back. The summer holidays will be over. And maybe if you have left school and you've finished education in that formal sense, you might say, oh, I'm breathing a sigh of relief. I'm so glad my school days are behind me. But you see, when you're in the Lord's school, as we all are as his children, then we're always learning. There's always something more the Lord has to teach us. We're always learning. And it's good. It's good to be in the Lord's school. And then in the third and final place, I want to close by speaking about God's unfailing word. God's unfailing word. You see, no further revelation came until the brook was dry. God didn't say, when the brook dries up, Elijah, I want you to go to the brook, but when the brook dries up, then go to Zarephath. He didn't tell Elijah that then. That's what I'm saying. Just step by step, there's the unfolding of his will. But when that water in the brook had dried up, we find that God is going to make further provision. And he must get that word from the Lord. You see, his faith in the Lord's word is being tested to the full, isn't it? Will he adhere to the word that brought him to the brook, even though the water's almost gone? Will he continue to wait there until he gets that further word from the Lord to direct him, to guide him? God's word, what was it that bound Elijah to where he was there hiding himself at the brook Cherith? It was God's word. It was that word that was binding him. It was that word that, if you like, was holding him, I better stay here. This is where the Lord has told me to go, where the Lord has told me to be, and I must stay until the Lord gives me further direction, further guidance. And he did. And we've already referred to it there in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath and dwell there. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Isn't that tremendous? Here is the word of the Lord, the unfailing word. That word that the Lord gave to him, directing him to the brook. Elijah can say, well, this is an unfailing word. The Lord has just been as good as the word he has given. He never fails. He never fails, and his word never fails. And Elijah is showing that, and Elijah is proving that. So we must realize that we have the word of the Lord. The Lord has given us his word. It's this word that we need to be reading. It's this word that we need to be thinking upon and meditating upon, so that we will hear the voice of the Lord. For the Lord speaks through his word. That's how we hear the voice of the Lord. It's not as if we're hearing some voice coming from somewhere out there. And as we read God's word, as his people, as his children, the Lord is speaking to us. We're hearing his voice through his own word. And this word that was given by the Lord to Elijah, it didn't make Elijah angry. Didn't make Elijah angry. Didn't make Elijah resentful. Lord, why are you sending me to the brook? I don't think that's a good place to go. I don't think I want to go there. No, he's not resentful. He's submitting. He's just so glad to have this word. And why are the circumstances such in the land that there is no rain? It's because God's judgment is upon the land. God's judgment is upon the nation. And even when God's judgment comes upon a land and upon a nation, God's own dear children do feel the effects of that. It does have an impact upon us. And we think often, I'm sure, of our own land and our own nation and how we need the Lord's intervention. But is the land not under a measure of God's judgment? But we have got this unfailing word. We have got this unfailing word. This is the word that we need to give heed to. This is the word that we need to obey. And here is an opportunity provided by the circumstances and the situation here to prove the faithfulness and the power, the supernatural power of Elijah's God. And Elijah proved that. He proved it. And as he was faithful in delivering the word, in delivering the message, in going where the word of the Lord directed him, then the Lord is in a marvelous way undertaking. And that's how the Lord does do for his children, even today, even for you, even for me, as long as we know we're obeying his word. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. Oh, we can have the words of men, and they fail and they change, of course, yes, but not the Lord. He changes not. Not his word. It changeth not. And the promises, the promises don't change. When you get a promise from the Lord, doesn't mean that next week or next month or next year, if the Lord spares you, that promise will have changed. No, you can still go back to that promise. You can still plead that promise. You can still rest by faith upon that promise. Such is our God, proving to his people his great faithfulness and his almighty power. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, again we come before thee in our Saviour's name and give thee thanks for thy word. We thank thee that thy word is indeed an unfailing word, and thou dost through thy word reveal thy will to us as thy people. And Lord, we pray that we may be as Elijah was when that word came to him to guide him and telling him how that provision would be made for him. He obeyed, he trusted thee. Help us to have in our hearts that faith that looks to thee and that rests upon the promises of thy word. For thou hast promised that thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. And so, no matter what our circumstances may be, we can still look to thee and trust thee, for thou art the one who dost care for us, and thou art the one who has an unchanging and an unchangeable love for us as thy children. Bless thy word to our hearts this day, we ask in our Saviour's name. Amen.